Judges chapter number 13, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 7. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible, but I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Praise God. With the help of the Lord here tonight, I just simply want to preach for a few minutes of time. It is the difference that is the difference. Amen. The difference that is the difference. Hallelujah. We'll understand it here in a little bit, but let's ask the Lord to help us here today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Savior, we love you. We come unto you. We believe in you, Jesus. Giving you all confidence, knowing, Lord Jesus, that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. I'm asking you, sweet Holy Ghost, to reach down, Lord Jesus, and to move amongst us. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost work in this house, touching every heart. Let inspiration and faith come unto all hearers here tonight, God. Do a perfect work, and we'll be quick to give you the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Savior. We worship your Lord. We worship your Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you today. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Amen. In the book of Numbers, chapter number 6, and beginning reading at verse number 1, reading a few verses of scripture here tonight. Amen. We begin reading. The Bible said that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves unto a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and from strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar or wine or vinegar of strong drink. And he shall drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, or eat any moist grapes or dried. In all the days of his separation, he shall eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. In all the days of the vow of his separation, there shall come no razor upon his head, until the days be fulfilled in which he be separated, separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy. And he shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. And all the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father, or for his mother, or for his brother, or for his sister, when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. And all the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. Praise God. And all the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. When you get to the New Ugner's Bible Dictionary, it defines the word Nazarite as one who is separated from certain things and unto others, and so distinguished from other persons and consecrated unto God. These were individuals that, having taken upon them the vow of the Nazarite, they had a purpose, and they had a venue to separate themselves from everybody else. They were not going to eat of the same things. They were not going to drink of the same things. They were going to be completely different from everybody else upon the face of the earth. And this was the stipulation. This was the rules, the way of the Nazarite. And this is the way that God had designed it. Amen. And that he told them that they were not to drink any wine or strong drink, vinegar of strong drink, and drink no liquor of the grapes or eat of the moist grapes or dried. And said that was not to eat of the vine tree, the kernels of the husk, and that his hair, all the days of his separation, that he was to take no razor unto his hair until he be fulfilled in which he separateth himself unto the Lord. It goes on to say that he should touch and come at no dead body. And it went on to describe that he shall not make himself unclean for his father's sake, or for his mother, or for his brother, or for his sister's sake when they die. In other words, that even when your mother and your father die, your brother or your sister die, you are not to come at them and you are not to touch them, for your consecration is upon your head. In all the days of his separation, he shall be holy unto the Lord. We see that there were a few that were Nazarites from the beginning of their days unto the end of their days, Samson being one of them. The Bible also speaks concerning John the Baptist and one other, but others were able to take the vow of a Nazarite for a certain period of time, and then having accomplished and completed that period of time, that they would take the sacrifices, and that they would take them unto the priest and offer them and end that consecration there. And I believe it was even Paul that had participated in that at one time. Amen. But it was a vow that God had placed upon certain individuals. It was a consecration that God had set aside for whosoever will, that would desire to draw closer to God and to be separated from the things of the world and from the commonness of all of mankind. Amen. It was a step up in a place. Amen. That if I'd say it like this, the spiritual would aspire to take. But beyond all of that, we see that from Genesis to the book of Revelations, that God hath always chosen and expected his people to be separated from the people upon the face of the earth. Exodus chapter number 33 and 16. Amen. The Bible said that they were to be separated from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And so I tell you tonight that if we have a problem with separation from the world, if we have a problem with separation from, amen, the people and from the fashions and the stances that are upon the face of this earth, that we do not have a problem with the church in general. We do not have a problem with the preacher. We do not have a problem, amen, with the things that are preached, but rather we have a problem with God himself. For it is God that hath chosen the doctrine of separation to be separate from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. I still believe in separation from the world. I still believe in coming out from among them and being separate, saith the Lord, and not touching the unclean thing, and that God will receive us. I still believe in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I still believe, amen, that the clean should not, be partakers with the unclean. I know that there's a lot in that, but just hear me. Amen. I believe today, amen, that the holy, amen, should be separated from the unholy. That the clean should be separated from the unclean.
Amen. And that the vile should be separated, amen, from the things, amen, that are of God. Praise God. This is the way that God hath chosen for it to be. And if we are going to be what God would have us to be, if we are going to accomplish what God would have us to accomplish, if we are going to be used of God like He desires to use us, then God is looking for a people to separate themselves, not being ashamed of the vow of separation, amen, but a people that will separate themselves for the cause of Christ. Praise the Lord. We see here in our text today, amen, that the children of Israel were in bondage unto the Philistines. And the Bible said that God raised up a deliverer. Not only did He raise up a deliverer, but He defined that deliverer. Amen. He gave the specifications of that deliverer. And the bottom line is the one that was going to make a difference, the one that was going to bring deliverance unto the people of the children of Israel, the one that was going to bring them out, amen, of the heavy hand, from under the heavy hand of the Philistines, was going to be one that was going to be different, was going to be one that was going to be separate, not just for a few days, but for a lifetime. I believe that that is the case of the church. I believe that there is a world that is to be delivered. I believe, amen, that there are things that God desires. At the same time, I believe that there are those that are out there that are crying out that God would send a deliverer unto them. And I believe that God has already got an ordained church that is prepared and that is ready. It is up to the church, amen, to be separate, to be different, amen, to be cognizant of it, amen, that we might be able to fulfill the will, the obligation and the duty of God. God is still in the healing business. God is still in the miracle working business. But most of all, God is in the saving business. If God doesn't heal of cancer, but can yet save a soul, then He has accomplished His mission. If God, amen, does not heal a man of whatsoever disease or sickness that may encompass an individual, but is able to save their soul, then I tell you that the will of God and the work of God has been fulfilled. We need the salvation of God. We need the power of God. We need the hand of God. And God is ready to do that. His arm is not short. His power is not slack. His mind is not diminished. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He can build an ark that'll sail upon the storms of sea, if He can pull down the walls of Jericho to bring victory, if He can deliver Daniel out of the lion's den and the three Hebrew children out of a fiery furnace, if He can bring victory to that, I believe that He can bring victory, salvation, and deliverance under this world in 20 and 21. I believe that God's got the answers that we need. I believe that God's got the power that we've got to have. Hallelujah. God just needs a church that'll stand up and step out and say, God, we desire to be that church. We desire to be different. We will accept the call of consecration. We will accept the vow of separation in order to be a light unto the city, in order to show this city the saving hand of God, in order to offer the gospel message, the saving plan unto every lost and dying soul. Well, let's magnify the Lord today. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Samson was that Nazarite from his birth unto his death. We understand through deduction that Samson's parents taught him the things that he could do and that he could not do. Samson was not born with that revelation. Samson did not have that knowledge to know what he could eat and drink, what he could touch and not touch. Samson was not born with that intellect. But I believe that there was a mom and a dad that from a baby, from a child, that taught him the ways that he should go, that trained him up in the ways that he should go, so that he should never depart from it. Samson was not aware of all the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots, and neither were the Philistines. They did not know everything that Samson could and could not do. They may have had some suspicion. They may have had some inclinations. But nevertheless, 2 + 2 did not equal 4 in their books. They had no idea what the power behind Samson was. They knew the riddle of the dead carcass of the lion concerning Samson. And they saw that Samson had went down around the vineyards of Timnath. But they did not know that he was not supposed to eat, partake of the vines there. They saw and they heard Samson's rendezvous with the jawbone of a donkey. But they did not know the vow that he was not to come upon any dead thing. Now, this is an area of debate. This is an area that some people say, well, they believe this and believe that. I'll just tell you what I believe. We see that there was the jawbone of a donkey that was provided there. The Bible called it a new jawbone. In other words, it hadn't been bleached out by the sun. It hadn't been there for any long extended period of time. And Samson reached down and picked that up and used it to defeat 1,000 Philistines. I'm just going to tell you how I feel about it. I don't believe it was the will of God for him to do that. I just don't. I don't see how that he could reach down and touch the jawbone of a donkey, but he couldn't reach out and touch his dead father. I don't understand how that he could reach down and get the jawbone of a donkey, but he wouldn't be able to come at his mother had she passed away, for that was the vow. Somebody said, well, God provided it. Let me just say that there are times that God said, look, if you want the easy way, you can do it like this. I'll provide you an answer. Amen. But are you going to hold to your consecration and have faith in me that I'll bring you out of this despite, amen, what you have right here? And there's a lot of churches that have reached down because they don't know of any other way, and they have reached down and picked up the jawbone of a donkey. Amen. But I believe it was God just simply saying, look, you can use this as an answer, or you can trust in me. The choice is yours. Amen. I'm willing to trust in God. I'm willing to put my faith in God. And I'm willing to hold to that vow of separation unto the Lord. That was the whole venue. That was the whole basis, the principle, the foundation of that vow was to be separate. You're going to be separate in what you eat. You're going to be separate in what you drink. You're going to be separate in how you look. And you're going to be separate in what you can touch and what you can come at. Amen. And oftentimes, there are places in our lives, and I'm just speaking in a general as the church, there are opportunities that are given unto us, amen, that God steps back and says, I just wonder what you're going to do. Are you going to hold to the old paths? Are you going to hold to the vows of separation? Are you going to continue to look different? Are you going to continue to be different? Are you going to continue to refrain from, amen, or are you going to pick up these little things besides, amen, that'll identify and that'll help out with the current situation? Oh, Jesus, help us today. Amen. But the Philistines did not know the vow of Samson concerning the dead bodies and the dead things. Amen. His mother did not know about the dead carcass of the lion that he had gotten honey from. Amen. There was a lot of things that happened in Samson's life that
that nobody other than Samson knew. Amen. Nobody really saw him down in the valleys of Timnath. What are you down there for, Samson? In a place that is known for the vineyards. In a place that is known for the olives. What are you down there for, Samson? You're not supposed to be partaking of these things. Amen. But nobody knows. Nobody knows the things that I have touched. Nobody knows the things that I have ate. Nobody knows the things that I have drunk. Nobody knows exactly where I have been. But all the mercies of God was upon Samson time and time again. Amen. The Philistines knew that there was something that was extremely different about Samson. But I've come to tell you tonight that the ironic part about that even though there was a difference about Samson on the outside, the Philistines never associated his being different on the outside as being the difference. Well, glory. Amen, amen. The Philistines had saw and they heard about what Samson did, and it put fear in their hearts. They heard about the lion and that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him and rent him as he would have rent a kid. And some of them may have just looked at one another and just shook their head in amazement, thinking, what kind of man can possibly do that? They heard and saw when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men there. They saw when Samson caught 300 foxes and smote the Philistines hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and they knew that there had to be a difference about Samson. I've heard a lot of great hunting stories, Brother Wirtz. I've heard, amen, of some of even our preachers of how that they have went in and tracked down these large bears and they have shot them. I've seen pictures of a dear friend of mine, Brother Justin Jackson. He sent me some pictures of some enormous deer that he has killed, an enormous ram that he killed down in Mexico. I told him one time, kind of in jest, I said, all that puny little thing, I throw rocks at them to get them to go away. I see the greatness that is there. Amen. And the experience that they have in calling in the turkeys and getting close to them and shooting two in one shot. Amen. I've heard the amazing stories of all of that. I've even shot, glory to God, hallelujah. I've even shot shotguns with Elder Worf here. And then I've seen him, how he's been able to take out those clay pigeons. And I've heard the stories of how that he has shot the pheasants. Amen. And I'm nowhere near as good as he is. Amen. But in all the great stories that I have heard from around Pentecost and things that you can pick up out of a magazine of Hunters R Us or whatever they call that. Amen. I've never seen or heard story of an individual that caught 300 foxes and tied their tails together and put brands in them and sent them through the cornfields of the enemy. I've never heard of a story like that. I'm telling you, friend, there was something that was different about Samson. Samson was a man's man. I do not believe that Samson looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't believe that Samson was ripped, amen, from top to bottom and chiseled and sculptured like some piece of stone. I believe that Samson probably looked just like the ordinary man, but yet there was something that was different about Samson. Hallelujah. They saw the Spirit of the Lord come mightily upon him when he slew 1,000 Philistines. I've heard the Navy SEALs do some amazing things. I've read some amazing stories in battle of just a few people who have been able to do miraculous things. But one man without a gun, without a sword, without just the jawbone of a donkey, and he's able to kill 1,000 men, 1,000 warriors, 1,000 Philistines. Amen. That's some kind of man. There was something that was uniquely different about Samson. And so I picked scripture, these Philistines standing around communing with one another and saying, what do you think it is, Fred, that is so different about that man down there? And Fred said, Joel, I have no idea what it is. I mean, look at him. He don't have bulging biceps. Amen. He doesn't know jujitsu. I just watched him fight with a donkey's jawbone. I don't know what it is about him. And there was Phyllis, there was Samson, walking through the vineyards of Timnath with his hair. Amen. His long flowing hair that had never been cut from the day of his birth. There's no Philistine that looked like him. As a matter of fact, there was no Israelite that looked at him. The common denominator, amen, was not what Samson had. Samson was the unique one. Samson was the different one. And what Fred and Joe should have said was, well, duh, it's his hair. Amen. Pardon this if you get offended. Amen. Hopefully you just get over it. Amen. But I'm telling you something that Helen Keller could have saw. I mean, come on, when nobody else has got long hair, and here's one man with long hair, the only man with long hair, and the only one tearing up Jack and throwing out Jill. The only one doing this. Somebody just said, you know what, shoot him with the tranquilizer, we'll cut his hair off and we'll see what happens. But that wasn't the case. And so they hired Delilah to find out what it was that was different about him. And Delilah lying to him and telling him that she loved him, questioned where his great strength come from. And he began to tell her, well, if you just bind me up with new ropes, new vines, 7 green vines, you just do this and do that, I'll be just like any other man. And Samson, he was probably about as smart as that post, because he just didn't get it. And all of a sudden, he woke up bound with 7 new green ropes. Come on, Samson, can't you see the writing on the wall? No, he couldn't. He was blind. He was infatuated. And so he busted the ropes loose. And he killed some more Philistines. And he told her another lie. And she got him again. And he woke up. And the same thing, and he just did not see it. And he had to do it again. And he said, if you'll just weave some things in my hair, I'll be. He kept getting closer and closer. And finally he said, you know, if you'll just cut my hair, I shall be like any other man. And Delilah knew that he had spoken everything that was in his heart. And she put him to sleep again. And then she had them come in. And they shaved the locks of his head from his head. The locks of his hair from his head. And he woke up. And she said, Samson, the Philistines be upon you. Go sick them, baby. And Samson jumped up and shook himself. And the Bible said that he wist not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. And he went out just like he had always done. But what had always been there was not there any longer. And he was taken captive and put to the grindstone and made sport and mockery of. Amen. While he sat there grinding the corn, just like all of the other oxen would. Amen. And he was now in their place. And everybody from the outside looking on the inside said, we found out what the difference was. The difference was his outward appearing. The difference was the way that he looked. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I'm here to tell you tonight that the difference was not the way that he looked on the outside. That was an effect of a greater cause that he had taken or was put upon him. I am worried about these Pentecostal churches, apostolic churches. He amen, that feels that the vow of their separation is only in their outward adorning, that they have assimilated, that they have tied in the way that they look to be the difference. That is the difference. Amen. Too many of them have become self-righteous in their works. Amen. And that is the way that they feel that they have gotten closer to God. Amen. By their works of righteousness. But the Bible teaches us that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it is by the washing of regeneration. And here it is. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Can I preach to you here for a little while tonight? I am not here to diminish and to slack off, amen, of the vows of separation that we have. We're not fixing to let go of some of the holiness standards that we have always stood for. We're not about to let down. We're not about to back up. We're not about to give in to any separation that we have had. We're not going to go liberal. We're not going to slack off in any area that there is. We're going to remain different from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. We're not going to look like Hollywood. We're not going to talk like Hollywood. We're not going to look like everybody else in the world. We're not going to look like the homosexuals. We're not going to act like them. We're not going to talk like them. We're not going to cater to them. We are going to be separate from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Because there is a job to do. There is a world to win. There are sinners that have still got to be set free. There are people that have yet got to be delivered. And God needs a church. God needs somebody that will stand up and say, God, I will take that vow. I will be different. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of God. For it is the power of God, even unto salvation. Oh, let's love the Lord today. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Delilah never loved Samson. Delilah never cared for Samson. Amen. Why didn't the Philistines just tell Delilah from the beginning, put him to sleep, we'll take care of the rest of it? Amen. Because they did not associate his outward appearance with his power. It may have protected his power. And there are things that we do, and there are things that we don't do in order to protect the favor and the power of God that he has placed upon us. But don't you ever think, amen, just let me preach here today for a little while. Don't you ever think that your long sleeves is what keeps the power of God upon us. And that's where the power of God is. You ladies, don't you ever think that just because you don't cut your hair, that your uncut hair is where the power is. Amen. That just because that you don't wear pants, amen, and that's where the power is. Men, just because, amen, that you dress like men and act like men, amen, don't you ever think that that's where the power is. That's what protects the power. That's what helps shield the power. That's what keeps the power. But friend, that is not the power. You don't get more power by wearing sleeves to the end of your fingertips. You don't get more power by having your necklines come up to above your chin. You do not get more power by having your dress links, amen, scrape the floor as you walk down the road. You do not have more power, amen, just because, amen, of one thing in the vine, the ways of our dress code. Amen, it just simply said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen, there was just some pretty common sense that was there. God just said, don't cut your hair, Samson, but there's there's some other things that I don't want you to do either. I don't want you to become comfortable with the things of this world. I don't want you out there associating in the world. I don't want you going to their ball games. I don't want you to go to their festivities. I don't want you hanging around and partying with them. I don't want you rubbing shoulders with them. I want you to teach them Bible studies. I want you to tell them about me. But I want you to remain separate from all the people upon the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Hell could care less, amen, of an individual not going to the movies or not going to the bars. Hell could care less if you stand up in defiance and say, I will not go to the movie theater. I'm preaching to a church that still believes that we don't go to the movies. We don't go to the theaters and partake and watch of the things that are evil and are vile. Amen, of those things and those ways. Hallelujah. We don't go to the bars and order a Pepsi or order a milk just so we can be an influence to those that are around there. We're not going to let our godliness be evil spoken of. I'm simply saying there's some places we don't go. There's some things that we don't do. Why? There's a greater cause. I've got an anointing to protect. I've got an anointing to protect. I've got a touch of God that I've got to protect. I want God to be able to deliver. I want God to be able to set free. I want God to be able to use me. I must be separate. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hell is not so concerned with a young person's purity, even though we're going to preach it, and even though we're going to believe it, and even though we're going to set guidelines, we're going to set dating guidelines, amen, for the protection of our young people. But hell isn't so concerned, amen, with the vow of purity. Hell is not so concerned with all of these vows, amen, that we're taking upon ourselves. Hell is not intimidated by you saying that I am apostolic or Pentecostal, or that I have called and confessed the Lord as my Savior. Hell is not afraid of all of that. Why? Because hell knows that if it can get you to lure and look around some of these forbidden things and forbidden ways, if hell can just get you to go down to the valley of Timnath and not partake of the vineyards there, but just look and just smell and just wonder about the beauty that is there, hell knows I've almost got them. I've almost got them. It won't be much longer and I'll have them in my lap. I want you to know today that hell does not love you. The world does not love you. The world does not care for you. There's a lot of enticements that are out there, and they want to say, if you'll come over here, then we'll give you this. And we promise this, the world does not love you. You gotta stay in the church. You gotta stay in the church. You gotta stay separated. You gotta keep holding to the unchanging hand of our God Almighty.
Praise God. Can I preach to you here for a little while tonight? I'm going to get a little personal here tonight. I'm coming against the spirit. I told you a long time ago, 3 months ago. That's a long time ago, huh? I told you a long time ago that there's a method to my madness. I told you back then, amen, that when I get fired up about a spirit, if you feel uncomfortable, it's not because I'm after you, but it's probably because you're feeling you're just a little bit too close to that spirit. I'm going to come against that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The spirit of apathy, spirit of lethargy, amen, a spirit of contentment, a spirit of sitting back, a spirit of growing easy in Zion. And that's not just the only spirits. Amen. I've told you today that hell doesn't care about our young people coming and sitting on the front row and wearing suits and ties.
Hell could care less, amen, that you've got a tie on. Hell could care less that you've got your hair right. Hell could care less that you young ladies are dressed right. Hell could care less about all of that, because they know that that's just an outward appearance. They know that that's not the power. They know that that's not where your favor and your power is. But let me tell you what hell is afraid of. Hell is afraid of young people getting in the altar and praying in the Holy Ghost. Hell is afraid of a red hot apostolic prayer meeting, amen, where young people are talking in tongues. Hell is afraid of a people that are connected. Hell is afraid of an old-fashioned apostolic prayer meeting. Hell is afraid of a red-hot apostolic worship service, because he knows that this is where they find their power, their strength, their renewal, and the anointing of God. I'm looking at young men here tonight that you look absolutely clueless. You're standing up, but you're not connected. You're looking around, but you have no idea what's going on. You stood over there in prayer, and you walked away. You did everything that you're supposed to do. You walked back and forth, but you never got in tune with the Holy Ghost. You never really prayed. You never really connected. And hell is looking at you saying, it won't be long. It won't be long. I'll slip something in their way, and I'll catch them. You've got to stay connected. I want a move of God. I want a move of God. I refuse to grow complacent. I refuse to grow complacent, because I know what we can have. I know what God wants. I felt the urging. I felt the unction of the Spirit. I felt the prodding of the Spirit. Amen, amen. In the last few days of prayer, amen, as the Lord stood up there beckoning me to come higher. Amen. If God's beckoning me to come higher, there's a church that ought to be following to come higher. I felt the God of heaven urging me. It's time to move forward. It's time to go on. Amen. I'm telling you here tonight, that's what time it is. It's time to get in tune with the Holy Ghost. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time to seek the face of God. It's time, amen, amen, to do what God would have us to do. Come on, somebody, get with me tonight. I refuse to settle for the status quo. I refuse to let our young people just come and exist. I want to create an atmosphere that is conducive, amen, to successful living in the house of God. I don't want to see our young people become statistics in a ball field somewhere, in a wall somewhere, in a bar somewhere. We've got to stay connected. Come on, the Holy Ghost is here tonight. That's the urging of the Holy Ghost. He's here. The urging of the Spirit is in this place. The unction of the Holy Ghost is in this house. Come on, it's time to respond right now. It's time to respond. Amen. You parents ought to be praying. You parents ought to be praying for an atmosphere like this. If you want to see your babies in church when they're in their 20s, amen, it behooves you, amen, to go to war on your knees and to find a place to pray. Come on, somebody. We've got young people that are not paying their tithe. We've got people that are not connecting in the Spirit. You've got to be connected. You've got to get connected. You're going to be lost without it. This is the difference. That is the difference. This separates this church from all the rest of the churches. This causes us to be different. An anointing, an anointing, and the anointing shall break the yokes of bondage. Sometimes I believe that we have learned how to play the part. We've learned how to act like apostolics. We've learned how to go through the motions. And we feel content because we're still got that outward anointing or that outward separation. But friend, there is a connection on the inside. Amen. Graham, I want you to know that Samson knew his vows, but Samson did not know the God of his vows. There's got to be vows. There's got to be regulations. There's got to be rules. But friend, there's got to be a God of the rules. This is the difference that causes us to be different. We're not different because of the way that we're dressed. We're different because of the God that we serve. We're different because of the God that we have living on the inside of us. I feel an urgency in the spirit tonight. I feel an urgency in the spirit. I feel the devil has crept in. I feel it in the Holy Ghost here tonight. Somebody needs to hear me. Somebody needs to hear me. Somebody needs to wake up. Amen, Samson. Samson, you need to wake up. You need to wake up. You're not as strong as you think that you are. You're not as good as you think that you are. You can't do it on your own, Samson. You've got to have the God of your vows working on the inside. Come on, young people. Come on, young people, it's time to pray. When you can feel comfortable texting, when you can feel comfortable praying on your phone in a red-hot apostolic service, there's something that's wrong. There's something that's wrong. You need to hear me. I said there's something that's wrong. When you can feel comfortable going service after service and robbing God of what belongs to Him, there's something that's wrong in your mind. There's something that's wrong in your spirit. You need to shake yourself. The world that you're flirting with does not love you. The world wants to destroy you. The world wants to kill you. You've got to make it right with God. Come on, you're flirting with things that you ought not to be flirting with. Amen. Ah, come on, you know I'm telling you the truth tonight. You know I'm telling you the truth tonight. Amen, you're doing things that you ought not to be doing. You're growing extremely comfortable in the land of Timnath. You're growing extremely comfortable walking in those vineyards. Walking to and fro. Amen. You've touched a few dead things here and there. Amen. And you still got your power. And because the mercies of God has been good upon you, you're deceived by it, thinking that God is so merciful. God is merciful. God's given you an opportunity to repent. God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, amen, kept Samson in everything that he did that was wrong. It was because God loved him. God had a mission. God had a purpose. Don't be deceived by that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be deceived by that, because you're going to find yourself in the lap of Delilah. Soon to be bound by the Philistines, working as a transgressor in the fields of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You still look the same on the outside. Come on, don't help me stop praying, people. You still look the same on the outside, but it's the things that you've been doing on the inside. It's the things that mom and daddy don't know about. It's the things that nobody knows about. Supposedly nobody knows about. It's destroying you. It's killing you. It's wooing you to sleep. And we know that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to destroy you. He's not interested in being your friend. He's not interested in being your confidant. He's not interested, amen, in being a pal. He wants to destroy you.
Holy Ghost, I'm asking you to put your hand upon him and to touch him right now in the name of Jesus. God, there needs to be a renewing of the Holy Ghost in his life, God. God, there needs to be a touch of your spirit. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.